Well, this morning we're going to continue in our teaching on manifestations of God. And we're going to look at some things probably maybe a little bit different. I'm not saying that other people haven't known and taught on the things, but there's some things here that we're going to pull together in scriptures that I've never seen anybody or heard anybody teach along these lines. It's nothing, any kind of great revelation that the church shouldn't have, but it seems that there's been a great stray away from things of God from the standpoint of manifestations of the Spirit. A lot of the Spirit-filled church, and I would say here in America, we have a lot of talking about God and God being great and doing things, but we've sort of left it where it's more informational than it is any revelational, where people practice things or do things. We don't have that. That's become a lost thing. And those kind of things happen in the charismatic renewal came along. That was the whole point of God began to pour out His Spirit in people, and it was so God could manifest Himself. That was the point. God desires to manifest Himself. God has to become more to you and I than just words on a page. If that's all He is, just, well, this is, you know, the Bible. There are groups, Christians, and who they say they believe in being saved, but they don't believe like we need the Holy Spirit per se and gifts of the Spirit because we have the Bible. So because we have the Bible, we don't need God. We don't need any of the rest of the stuff. And, that's like, you know, saying in life, all we need is a textbook. I tell you, give me a textbook, that's all I'll ever need. Say, man, we're in huge trouble. We're in big trouble if that's all we ever need. But anyhow, we're going to talk about manifestation of the Spirit. Now, the last couple of weeks we talked about in the area of ministry, we used things that were written in the beginning of the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. We're going to go back there today. And we're dealing with the subject, dealing with ministry. The Apostle Paul started the chapter writing off about understanding things of the Spirit or being spiritual. What it is to be spiritual, and we need to understand this. God, the manifestations of God come through the Spirit. They don't come through the natural. They may manifest in the natural, but they don't come from the natural. They come from the Spirit. Understanding spiritual things. And so when we're going to be teaching, and I want you to keep this in mind, we're going to just go through, we're not going to right now get involved in teaching those gifts. These gifts are specifically said because first we got to change thinking. And you're going to have to find out this with people. There's certain things you're going to change about the way a person thinks. You can give them information and they'll say, yeah, from the Bible, it's true. But if you don't change the way they think, they ain't gonna ever do a thing with it. It doesn't matter at all. You gotta change the way that you think, how you view yourself, how you see yourself. The Church of Jesus Christ is a supernatural group of people. Now that is not what 99% of Christians think. We're just natural people. We're here. God, does His best and then, He's gonna drag us out of here one day and that's not what the Church is a spiritual group. You see, you're going to have trouble reaching the world if you're knocking what they're doing. The world is going toward the supernatural. That's why you see all these shows that are on television. They do about ghosts and all the haunted places and things. They have all these movies on superheroes and all kind of stuff. Why? Because the Christians that are around ain't super nothing. They don't see God as supernatural. God is just some stuff on a page. And that's in most churches. They just got some stuff. These are things that He did, the Red Sea thing. Christians get all upset when somebody don't believe the Red Sea thing. Why should they? God don't do nothing today. Who cares what He did back then? No matter. Well, yeah, I mean, think about it. How could you hardly believe He could do something back there when you don't ever see anything today? If you don't see nothing today. If you don't see God manifest Himself today. Is He real? We believe in a God we didn't see, but that don't mean He don't ever show up. We don't ever see His presence. We should. Amen. I mean, we got to get our thinking changed. We have a very low expectation of God, so therefore we have a very low level of faith. Remember, you don't have expectation, you ain't going to have much faith. You ain't expecting much to happen. I appreciate all the gifts of the Spirit that manifest in the Bible that we have writings of, but I ain't trying to live off of them. I can't. I need manifestations for me today. See, I need God. And there's people out here. I'm going to tell you, the world, you ain't going to have a big revival without the world seeing something from God. They're going to have something that manifests. They're going to have to, God becomes real. And that is a hugely important thing. Now, we're going to start, I'm today just starting at verse 7 because here's one of the key verses I want you to get, because you're going to find you're going to deal with people about things. There's one thing is getting Christians. And remember, this is a letter written to Christians, not to the world. And in verse 7 says here, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Now, he's saying here, he went off and started about the church, and he told the Corinthian church, I want you guys to understand spiritual stuff. This spiritual stuff he's going to talk about, which he's going to go over and mention 9 gifts. And they are, what does it say here about them? But the manifestation of the Spirit, this manifestation is given to each one for the profit of all. In other words, there's nobody in the body of Christ that shouldn't have manifestations of this. But I want you to understand this. This is a Spirit-filled church. The church at Corinth was Spirit-filled. You will not see a lot of this manifest in churches that don't believe baptism of the Holy Spirit. You won't see these things. You won't see these gifts in manifestation. You won't see them. Why? Because they're to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. See, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for ministry. See, he's teaching about ministry in the church. That's the subject. Ministry in the church. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is not just for your personal life. That's what the people have mostly made it is. It's for ministry. These gifts, this is why. Now, I'm just going to tell you something going into this. As we go along and read things, you're going to see it. Is one of the reasons that you see like ministers operate more in gifts is because they're ministering. If you don't minister to nobody or nothing, you're not going to see these things. And I'm not talking about just saying, I'm just going to pray for you or something like that. We're going to find out the ministry, the word, ministering to people, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There is a need of supernatural things to minister to people. And especially ministering to the lost. You're going to need gifts and things. The lost aren't going to up and just believe everything. They're going to need manifestations. That's why if you see an evangelist, you don't see it as much here in the United States as you do. You go overseas. An evangelist goes overseas. They'll have more demonstrations of the Holy Spirit, gifts of healings and stuff and manifestation, working of miracles. You name it, it's going on. Because lots of times they're in places these people haven't heard about God. They don't know much about it. See, I found that out when I do overseas. You get around people that don't know much of anything. It is amazing. It is the easiest thing in the world to get demonstrations of the Spirit. But that don't mean because, it's just going to happen to you, you go to those groups. You're going to have to minister. See, I found out when I ministered, then they would happen. I was down in Peru and, just supernatural. Out on the street ministering. We were out in the street ministering. Just demonstrations, miracles. It was like nothing to have it. But there's only, you're going to have to minister. They didn't happen because you were in Peru. there's all kind of, probably Americans were staying in hotels in Peru, didn't have a thing happen through them. Might have been Christians and nothing took place. It's by ministry. This stuff's for ministry. Don't expect anything. I always get a kick out of these people. Well, I have this certain gift and I have that good gift. God's given me this gift. And they don't ever minister, I think. They don't ever do nothing. You ain't going to ever see anything manifest. Nothing's ever going to manifest. Amen. This is for ministry. You got to get this to yourself. These are talking about spiritual things. These gifts that we're going to read are not natural gifts. They have nothing to do with natural abilities or whatever you went to school to learn. See, God gave us brains to be able to do all kinds of stuff. There's just as many good sinner carpenters as there are Christian carpenters. Just because you have certain talent. This is not talking about any natural talent. These things we're talking about today are spiritual manifestations. They have nothing to do with any of your ability. Natural ability. I don't have anything in the world to do it. It has nothing to do with that. You need to get this in your mind. This whole chapter is talking about, he started off, he's talking about things of the Spirit. We're supposed to understand things of the Spirit. These are spiritual. These are really things that operate through spiritual people. Now, I want you to get, this is not criticism to anybody. We need to change the church world in their thinking. Most people are waiting for God to raise up another big minister to do something. God's waiting for the church to rise up and do something. we'll show you. I'll show you. We'll get on to it. We'll meddle some in things. And no, but it's not criticism. We need to change. The church world has shifted. From when I first came into the kingdom, people were thinking in line when I first came into the kingdom that God manifests through everybody. And they were thinking, and that's been lost. That's gone. People don't think of that at all anymore. You know, I'm just a Christian, you know, get along. I want God to bless my life and live a good life and live a nice life, and everybody around me goes to hell. I mean, people today, Christians, don't even care about their own family and the condition of the spirituality of their own families. They don't give a rip about it at all. They'd never even say a thing to anybody. Just, you know, we lost spirituality. We don't realize. I mean, if Jesus comes back, what's going to happen? What do you think is going to happen to people here? You think all of a sudden they're going to jump up and I love Jesus? If they've been giving in the devil and following all their friends, they'll be following whatever their friends do because they don't want anybody to. And, you know, we need to understand the seriousness of the time we're in. We need to help a God. God has given the church supernatural to help it. You know, God has a desire for us to reach our family, friends, people in our community. God has a great desire to do that. And He's given supernatural abilities to do that, and we need to learn to operate in these areas. Now, these gifts, it says that manifestation is given to each one. So there's nobody can say, well, God just don't use me in that way. God just don't use me like that. I'm more a hand out the hot dog type of person. It's good preaching, ain't it? I'm telling you. I'm more in a, you know, do help somebody do something, you know. I'm sorry, people don't get saved without the gospel preached. They don't get saved. Forget it. You can do all the nice things you want, and it's good to do nice things for people. But ain't nobody get saved that way, and they ain't going to end up in heaven being nice, just being nice to them. You preach the gospel to people, you're going to find people going to get offended and get upset at you. You tell the truth. Is it always the most, especially in these days we live in, it's always the most popular thing. Now, I want to read these gifts. Now, I want you to understand this. Don't think natural. These gifts have nothing to do with natural. Starts out verse 8, it says, for one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, and to another interpretation of tongues. Now I want you to, this is not talking about somebody who's being smart or understanding the word of wisdom is not that. The word, all of these come supernaturally only as the Spirit wills. In other words, there's things will, wisdom will come to you on things, and this is in ministry. Not in just your, we think about just like, I'm just a smart person and I know how to do this certain thing, or I'm good at doing this or that. This is not what that is. This is wisdom that comes to you outside of ordinary knowledge and wisdom. See, this thing will operate in areas and that stuff. Lots of times, especially word of wisdom and word of knowledge, the word of wisdom points to the future. One of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to show us things to come. See, that don't operate a lot in Christians. Christians don't see things, but yet over the years, I have seen numbers of things God has shown me to the future of what was going to happen in America and different things going on. I've had numbers of things where God has done that. But I've always walked around and said, see, the Holy Spirit shows me things to come. He wants to benefit. See, you're not going to ever be any good at ministry if you don't know what's happening ahead. You're going to be just like our Congress, just running around with mandates trying to fix every problem you see going on around you. If you can't see down the future, you can't prepare. Lots of things you could even stop if you could know what's up ahead. You could even stop it from happening. You see, we need these demonstrations. Word of knowledge. Things that you could not possibly know. Lots of times in ministry, I've had this over the years. When I would walk up and touch a person, the minute a person would, you know, come forward to be, and when I would touch them, as soon as I touch them, all of a sudden I know something. I know something about them. I know something. And it has to do with being able to minister to them. If you don't have that, you know what you're going to do? You're going to just going to be a psychiatrist to people. That's all you're going to be. You're going to be a Christian psychiatrist running around trying to tell, I read this in a book somewhere, and this is your problem. You have this. This is probably your problem, and that's all you're going to offer people. That's all you're going to offer. You know? Over the years, I've talked to numbers of people who have sat in even Christian counseling sessions and have sat and had more stuff said to them. And they have gone counseling session after counseling session after counseling session. And I talked to them and in 10 minutes told them what the problem was. And they said, they never told us that. Well, I said, they couldn't have told you that. They wouldn't have known it. God reveals it. No, we don't have that. See, we live off of education today. American education is the big thing. That's the big thing. We're smart. We're smarter than them people that are living in that tribe in Africa back in there. They probably know more about God than the average American does. That is it. See, we need to get this ours cleared up. Supernatural. You know, from the time I was a kid, the supernatural just intrigued me. It always was. See, now, I was a kid in church, and if anything religion does, you can tell if you're in a religious church. They're always trying to steal the supernatural out of you. They're always talking against supernatural. I'm going to tell you, they don't even know what's God, what's the devil, what's anything. They don't know. Everything is like, we don't want to get the supernatural. We don't want to get there. See, we want to keep our feet on the ground. Well, we've kept our feet on the ground so much that we're about 6 feet under now, and they're starting to throw dirt on us. We're on the ground. See, there should be, you should be intrigued. It should fascinate you. Our God is a supernatural God. He's not natural at all. Hallelujah. Our Father God is a spirit. We look around for the natural and people say, oh, you look at all God created. He did all this stuff. Do you think he did it down the carpenter shop someplace? Well, do you think he was just, got some guys and some angels together and said, what do you think we could really have to do here with this thing? And then we're born of his nature. And then don't expect to be supernatural that don't have supernatural. I'll tell you what, I'm just be honest with you. I probably would be saved today, would not be doing what I didn't, hadn't I heard Kenneth Hagin's teachings and down the areas of supernatural. Because I'd have thought, it's the same old religious junk. You get saved and they'll tell you the stories of what God did through everybody else but you. I thought, if God ain't going to operate through me, I don't want it. What good is it? I don't want to sit and listen to everybody else's story. I want to have stories.
Amen. Hallelujah. Preach that one.
Yeah. See, I want to go in the phone booth every once in a while. Yeah. Don't you?
Amen.
No, the average Christian don't. The average Christian don't want to go to a phone booth at all. They are just satisfied turning on the television, listening to some guy tell his stories. I want my stories. I want my stories about me and Jesus.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Say you get saved, you need a personal relationship with Jesus. And say, what is that? Well, he don't do nothing through me. I tell you, he personally, I don't know if he cares for me or not. It's personal. Though God manifests himself through people. Now, these gifts are supernatural. We do understand, that's why I'm saying. Gifts of healing has nothing to do with people and doctors or anything like that. Doesn't have a thing to do it. I'm just going to tell you, if a gift of the Spirit goes into operation, and you need to know this. See, the average Christian, the average Spirit-filled Christian knows nothing about these things. I'm just telling you this, because if a gift of the Spirit goes, of healing would kick in, I don't care whether the person's believing or not. They'll get healed. See, what some people don't understand, well, God healed such and such this person over there, and they were heathen. Why is this guy? It always amazes me. See, there's gifts of healing go into operation, and God heals people in different ones. Do you ever think about Jesus? You know, God sends Jesus down to a guy in the pool of Siloam. There's only one guy down there. He walks in. There's five porches full of people. He walks down there. Heals this one guy and leaves. See, people don't understand these type of things because they don't read the Bible close up. We're just fascinated, and basically we're caught in all the stories we've been told all the years about what things are, and don't really, never read to find out what happened. How does that work? How did that happen? See, I've always been curious, ever since, you know, John, you can't read after, if you never read after John G. Lake, you missed half your life. John G. Lake was a guy, God heals. I want to know how he does it. You can't cooperate with what you don't know how it works. You got to find out how it works. See, I was always interested in the Spirit, how these gifts work. See, I very seldom operate. There's times I've had gifts of the Spirit operate through me and prayed for someone. I knew they're going to be healed, and I knew they weren't in a place to get healed for nothing. But the gift's there. Most of the time, I minister, especially to you guys, 99.999999% of the time, you're going to have faith. If you don't, that's just, now understand, anybody can operate in that. That's why it tells us we lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. That's not talking about gifts of the Spirit. That is talking, we have the name of Jesus. By faith in the name, we can lay hands on people. It's faith in that name. But we got to tell people that. We got to tell, you know, we got to preach Jesus to people. And we lay hands on people. So we need to know that, understand these things of how things work and operate. Now, one of the things I found out with this, lots of times, and most of the time if a gift kicks in, it usually kicks in because you're already operating in faith on some things that you're doing, and then it kicks in. Very seldom do I ever had a gift just kick in. Now, I mean, I did. I had the gift, and I told this, you know, you guys heard me tell the story about the little girls years ago back of our home where it fell on the bike. Now, there, I was there, but what I was sitting outside. I had been sitting in the backyard. Kids were playing. I'm sitting. I was reading scriptures. Number one, I was staying at the, I was a period of time there. I was over involved in some spiritual things. See, I'm not involved in natural stuff at the time. And when that happened, that gift kicked in. See, normally it doesn't just necessarily do like that. That kicked in. Now, I've had numbers of times with the gift of faith. Now, gift of faith is not talking about your natural faith. Ain't got a thing to do. It's being able, in the gift of faith, you can believe for things you'd try to believe for before and you could have never done. That had never happened. I've heard people say, well, I have the gift of faith. And I always think, yeah, I wish you'd get some. You know. People always say those things. You know they don't have what they're saying because you don't have these gifts. Because we want to look for there. Verse 11 says, listen to this. Verse 11, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to preachers, to ministers, to the evangelist, says to each one individually as he wills. You do not have a gift at your will. You don't have that gift. You don't have any of these gifts at your will. You can't make them turn on and off. Now, let me just quick say this before we go any further. There are people who have that ministers who God's given them a healing ministry. Now, you'll see more things of healing. God will deal with them directly about it. But it's not gifts of healing. Sometimes they will have gifts of healing will kick in. But they don't. It's like Brother Hagin. Brother Hagin was called up to heaven, and Jesus gave him anointing and touched his hands. But I'm going to tell you, God is always going to... You need to get across to this. This is why we see a lot of healings today and things going on. It's a requirement of faith by God. Kenneth Hagin... caught up to heaven, Jesus told him and said this to him. He, when you go back to earth, he said, I want you to take this anointing, lay hands on the sick. He said, you tell them that you saw me. Jesus said to tell them, you saw me and I laid my hands in the palm of your hands and I've given you this healing anointing. And he said, if they will believe that when you lay hands on them, they'll be healed. See, it was going to require faith of them. See, he had this anointing directly from Jesus, but it just didn't work. It wasn't like you flip a switch. Jesus didn't even have that when he was in the earth. Jesus went to Nazareth and could do no mighty work because of their unbelief. Jesus didn't walk around and throw a switch on any time he wanted to. Jesus told Kenneth Hagin about him being in Nazareth when he was in the earth. He said, if any place you'd want to make good is in your own hometown. And he said, you go to your hometown. He said, I couldn't do it for them. Jesus couldn't throw a switch, and you ain't either. It's going to require people of faith. That's why we preach the gospel. You can't please God without faith. I mean, it goes as the Spirit wills. So in other words, one of the things we do, if we stay more spiritual, we're going to turn around and probably be more conscious of these things. This is one thing that I've learned over the years, is you're operating in things, if you're just operating in what you understand by faith, you'll probably be more sensitive to pick things up, because things don't always come. I'll just get a sense to do something. And I'm going to tell you what, it's no more than a sense in my spirit. I get a sense in my spirit to do something. I will guarantee you, every one of you have had thousands and thousands of them that you didn't follow. You get senses. I've heard people over here tell me, I had a sense of this or I had a sense of that. I said, well, what did you do about it? No, well, I didn't know it was that. See, they don't ever follow that thing, that sense that comes. There's a sense inside of you. You ever driving down the road and you get a sense? Don't drive that direction. Don't go that way. See, no, I went over there and sat in the traffic anyhow. You know, you guys heard me tell the story about when Wanda and I were heading down to, driving a motorhome, heading down to Florida, and we're driving, and I just get a sense to slow down. There was nothing inside of me, some big, God said, Ed Gibson, slow down, thus saith the Lord. I just got this sense in me about, slow down, slow down. I'm glad I listened. If I would have listened to that, we would have ended up whole vacation destroyed, and we could have went to church and gave testimonies how God ended our vacation for a purpose. And we could have preached that in any church in America, and they'd have loved to hear it. Every one of us have had things happen in our life that should not have happened because we missed it. Let's get over it, folks. Look, you might as well say, you ain't that bright. We've all, God, I'm totally 100% convinced of this, that God always warns people. I believe He always warns people. And the way I can show proof of it, I go to the Old Testament under their covenant. God in some times was warning Israel 60 years ahead of the trouble that was coming to them. Well, dear Lord, if those people who weren't His children and they were just servants and He was going to all that trouble, what would He do us with the Holy Ghost living in us and we're the temple of God? See, we need to change the way we think. Lots of times in America, the church lots of times ain't even good Old Testament Christians. You know, they're not. We don't understand. We love the stories, but we don't understand the purposes. Why God's doing what He's doing. That's what you have to find out. Amen. See, I would read these things and I think, my God did that for them. What was He going to do for me? I'm His child over here. I'm living over here born again with His nature in Him, in me. Hallelujah. See, you and I can maintain our peace and joy in this time of trouble. Amen. We can maintain it. But it's out of your spirit. You can't maintain it looking at everything that goes on and everything that's happening. Hallelujah. But I want you to get this. He gives to each one. He distributes to each one individually as He wills. So these are the things. And see, we need to get over in this area and get our thinking that God manifests. Now, I want you to see this because now we're going to go on. When we have teaching on these subjects, right here is where they end and always stop. Well, I'm going to tell you what. The next scriptures, the passages down through, is on the same subject because He's talking about spiritual gifts in manifestation for each one. Everybody should have them. Every Christian is God's and the Holy Spirit's desire to manifest through. It's the desire that every Christian should get filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now, we're going to read down through from verse 12. It says, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." Now, in other words, He's talking about a spiritual body, the body of Christ. This is not people in general. This is a letter written to the church. It's about us as Christians being one body with Christ. He says, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greeks. He's not talking there about water baptism. That's our, we were spiritually baptized. This is a spiritual, this is what happened to you spiritually. Whether you're, he said, whether you're a Jew, whether you're Greek, whether you're a slave, whether you're free, all have been made to drink into one Spirit. See, we're all drink. The whole body of Christ drinks in the same Spirit, the same Holy Ghost. We're in the same Spirit. He said, for in fact, the body is not one member, but it's many. Said, if the foot says, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? He's just asking a question. He said, and if the ear says, because I'm not of the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? He said, if the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one, see, he's talking about each one again. Remember he said each one has gifts? Holy Spirit manifests these gifts through each one. We started off finding out spiritually, everybody has ministry. We talked about the ministry thing. Everybody's got ministry. Here he's talking about, okay, each one. So, for if there were each of them in the body, just as, but he says, now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now, indeed, there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, these members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part which lacked it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care of one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, I want you to say, he's talking here. Understand. Get this. He's used the symbol of a physical body. That's used as a type. He's talking about a spiritual body. It's need for one another. And each member of the body has a part. Each member has a part. Now, what happens if members don't take their part? The whole body suffers. See, the whole body of Christ is suffering today. Because most Christians don't take any part. They're not into this spirit. They're not into spirit. They're not into operating. These gifts operating through the body make the body what it is. It's a supernatural body. And God demonstrates supernatural through the body. And this is one of the hard parts. You know, God will put up with people for a period of time, but he's not going to keep demonstrating through a certain person all the time for the entertainment of the rest. It's like I've told you, the majority of the time that I have manifestations of the Spirit, they're not at church. They're for out here in the world. They're out here in the world, and God manifests things through you and that stuff. I have, you know, time and time again of things like that happen. And so we need to understand, what's he talking about? So what good is an eye if it's blind in the body? It's like a natural body. If an eye is blind, is it any help to the body? See, this is the whole thing. This is what people have. You know, people say, well, you know, I'm not much, so God don't use me. Well, it says he's given more to those people. You see, everyone, there's not one in the body of Christ that's not supposed to be able to operate. See, the subject ain't changed. He's talking about spirituality and the manifestation of these gifts through the body. That's what this is talking about. That's what this is. And see, this is what God wants me to get across. The fact, we got to get across this to the church world. We have so much wrong people. See, people think, well, you know, I went to church, you know, ever since I've been a Christian, 1980, you know, Mom and I started, and we started going to church. And always the majority of anybody, of Christians you go to, the majority doesn't really participate in the body of Christ. I mean, they don't have nothing. Now, just think about it. Because we're going to read later on as we study these manifestations. Paul said when you come together, everybody should have a tongue and you can have interpretation, you have prophecy, you can have... Well, we don't, that's not the body of Christ today. That ain't the body of Christ. You can't even ask a minister, just sitting cold, say, hey, get up, minister to us. I say, well, I ain't prepared. Say, well then go home. Dear God, you ain't worth being here. We're supposed to be ready in season and out of season, and I want to tell you, you are too. Amen. If you ain't ready in season or out of season, it's because you're out of touch. You haven't spent no time with God, you don't know nothing? I don't care where I'd be at or whether it's in, say, do you have something you want to minister? You have something you could minister? Well, sure I could. My God. I can't imagine knowing God and you don't have nothing to say. I know God, but I ain't got a worthwhile thing to say to you. He ain't that good. That's good preaching nonetheless. But it is. But see, people need to understand, you know, but I don't blame congregations because they have been told, you know, you're just, they're all left with the idea that they're supposed to do, you know, that God ain't going to do much through them. That we need the big name guy, you know, that's not the way it works. That's not the way it works. But it's not preached. See, we've taught these things here with the idea, took these scriptures out to try to make everybody get along with each other in the church. And that's not what that was teaching about. That ain't teaching about that at all. This is teaching about spiritual gifts. Everybody's supposed to yield to their gift. That's what makes a body work. A body's no good with loads of parts that don't work. It doesn't, nothing. I mean, you look at the natural, there's nothing in the natural works. If something ain't working well, you know, it's amazing. It says, you know, if you had a car and only half the parts worked, well, you wouldn't have much. You might have a thing that looks like a car. See, we have a lot that looks like churches today. But they're not churches. They don't work. Now, I want to share a few things with you here because we want to, getting over here and looking at these gifts. I want you to turn over to Ephesians. The Lord told me to read these here yesterday. He got these things over to me and I want to read these things to you in the Ephesians in the fourth chapter. I want you to go to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. I'm going to read you some things here. Because you can see and understand, see, the tie to this. See, we're not just going to try to build a doctrine just here on this. We got to see what Scripture is teaching. Now, in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, I'm going to start verse 7. It says, "But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift." This is what he says. He's writing to a church, the church at Ephesus. And he says, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift, to each one of us. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, he gave gifts to men. He said, now this is he ascended, what does it mean that he also first descended in the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. What did he give them for? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. What did he give these gifts for? So the ministers could do the work of the ministry? It's to equip the saints for the work of the ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ. If the saints are not doing their work, the body does not get edified. We have taught that the minister's job was to edify you. That's not what it's saying. See, we have over here with these gifts. It's to everybody. God has given. He's given certain people special gifts. Do you know really what these ministry gifts are for? They're to teach. Teach or preach. You know, it's like if a person went to school, and whatever they go to school for or whatever it is, whether it's general education or whatever, they're taught things that they're supposed to apply in their life and do. The teacher's not the one that's supposed to be doing it. The teacher's job is to do the teaching. And see, we're trying to work these, we want a move of God. But the move of God, God wants to move in the church. He doesn't want to move through a couple individuals. That's not a revival. That's a show. America, much of Christianity is about shows. People go to church for the show. They go to watch somebody else worship. They go to watch these worship teams and they're doing their stuff. They got their lights and they got their videos and they got all their stuff and everybody's woo-hoo-hoo! We're downtown at the bar without the drink, but we'll get that later. We're all excited. It's great here. And they walk out the door and they got nothing. They didn't worship. They never worshiped God. They're focused on everything around and everything else is going on. Focused on everything else. We've lost it in these areas about, you know, trying to go in, you know, going to churches and stuff and mood lights. And what's wrong with your mood? Other than you need to repent and act like God's in you. Who got you in a bad mood besides you? If you've never had to repent for that kind of stuff, we'll get you saved. And because I've had to repent many times. Hallelujah. But therefore the edifying. He says, what's the purpose? Till we all come together in the unity of faith. See, this is the unity of body. Everybody doing their part. Now listen, he goes on to say, and it says, till we all come together, the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. See, people following man. Oh my. I said, now listen, but speaking love. Is that what it says? It says speaking the truth in love. See, your motivation always for what you say, even you have to correct, should be love. You ain't doing it to try to shoot the guy and try to kill him. The motivation is to bring change. You know, we have today the sensitivity of people in America today. You can't tell the truth no more. Even in churches, you can't tell the truth no more because people are so sensitive, they will leave. I say pat them on the hiney and send them out. Well, you might want to slap him on the hide. Might help. We want to speak the truth. Tell the truth. We don't have to be mean about it. Just tell the truth. You know, try to save somebody's life instead of, you know, just acting like you're nice to them. And you know they ain't going to work. You know they're going to be in big trouble. And we'll just play the game because we're so loving. Say, no. People are in big trouble today.
Amen.
Big trouble. But so we're not tossed about. See, we know today with all these, a lot of false doctrine stuff is being taught today. That's all going around because the body. Preachers got to preach truth. They got to quit trying to take care of everybody and start teaching people to take care of themselves, take care of others than themselves. The body of Christ today is like people I've heard over the years. People, oh man, I just had to get to church because I just need all this help and all this thing. And what it is, it's all focused on them. Well, what if everybody else around you is in the same situation? What good is that body other than burying it? See, somebody. Somebody's got to have life. Somebody's got to minister. Is it the job of the minister all the time? What do you, you know, if I would go the way most Christians would do, then I'd never show up to preach for you guys. I'd need to go to church on Sunday because I need help. Well, what do you think we do? Sorry, I just can't make it Sunday. I just need to get over here and get help. Because God don't help me that I get up and lie to you and talk like God's good. If I can't get him to help me, I'd be lying to tell you. Because I'd have no proof it works.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He's good.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. And he'll help you.
Amen.
Glory to God. We're not going to be tossed to for the trickery of men and the cunning craft is deceitful plotting. Speaking the truth in love may grow up. Do you know you have to speak the truth in love? You have to speak truth to grow up? Can't keep telling them lies. You know, I always use the example, you know, of the thing just, you know, people do around do lies. You know, I know people do this all the time. There's some people that really sort of can do this to you often. They will do something or get something and they come and ask you if you like it. They're wearing something and they ask you if you like it. They do. They put you in that spot. See, I used to always think before it was a spot to be put in, but it ain't no spot for me anymore. If I don't care for it, I just tell, you know, it don't do it for me. You know, I was with the store with Wanda yesterday, and she came out and tried one thing on, and saw yourself. She said, "What do you think of it?" I said, "I don't care for it."
Amen.
Well, if she likes that thing, she can buy it. I'll pay for it. Dear God, it ain't about it. I don't have to have this. If she's that sense, I have to like everything that she likes. Dear Lord, we'll trade her in on a Nash. An old car would be better. But you can't have that kind of sense. The body of Christ is this sensitive little thing. And well, they didn't like why did you ask? Keep your blab mouth shut if you don't want to know the truth. If you don't want to know the truth, don't ask me.
Amen. Preach.
I have done this hundreds of times that people have asked me stuff and I said, "Do you really want me to tell you the truth?" And they look at you sort of stupid. I said, "I'm just going to tell you. Do you really want the answer of truth in that thing? Do you?" And they stop and I've had people end the question right there. Because I realized they didn't want the truth. They were coming trying to get me to go. I never found out what the question was, you know, completely. But the whole thing was, many people, they're trying to get people to agree with them. That can't be what keeps you happy in life.
Amen.
That's why we have all these insensitive people today that can't take anything. Because we've been taught we all get a trophy, we're all wonderful, we're all good. No, you're not! We miss it. We're like, you know, that's why I need God.
Amen.
And the most messed up people are the most sensitive. They think, well, tell me I'm good. See, I'm sorry. I don't want to go to hell. All liars are going to be in the lake of fire. I ain't going with you. Sorry. See, we're not being mean. It's just, my God, people are in huge trouble that they're in. You know, Wanda doesn't have to like, I can have something if she says she doesn't care for it. If I care for it, I say, well, I can't have it because she don't care for it. Is that way you're going to have to live your life? Trying to run around and please some big old baby? To try to keep peace around the house? No wonder there's shootings going on. Dear God. How long can you put up with it? You know, my wife's allowed to, she's allowed to like things that she likes. She's allowed to do that.
Amen.
You know? I don't put her clothes on. I never get in the closet. Now, some might do that. Maybe some don't like the style because I don't look good in it. Does my butt look big? We ain't doing that. You know what? These simple things that I'm talking about here, it's so funny we laugh about. But you wonder how much trouble in the body of Christ there is just because everybody's trying to get everybody to like everything that they like. That has nothing to do with spirituality. When you get over to the spiritual side, ain't none of them know nothing. And they're all fluffed up over all the natural stuff. All the things that don't matter. Things that don't matter at all. So let's, you know, my God, you know, especially, you know, if you're going to, I've learned this a long time ago, if you're going to get married, you have to learn to like things you don't like. You got to do that. And that is. But you know what? The things that I thought were important as I've gotten older, and you haven't grown up, if the things that you think are so important are just all still so important to you, you've never grew up. There's a lot of things that I found out, they didn't melt a hill of beans anyhow. Because the more I grew in Christ, the more I realized that all this stuff didn't matter at all. That we thought it mattered a whole lot. And what really mattered, I didn't know a lot about. So I had to grow up. And y'all, we're always all growing up.
Hallelujah.
We're all growing up.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. See, there's some people, they get, you know, third grade, they never go any further. Some people make it to sixth. And that's where they stop. And that's where they think the world runs. And that's where everything goes. And that's probably, I don't know if most people in America have gotten to sixth. They get this certain level and it's like everything runs around that. And it's all childish. It's like here being spiritually, he's talking about that we speak the truth in love because people are getting carried off by all kind of winds of doctrine in the church. That is a sign of spiritual babyhood. That's being babies. We have ministers that have gotten on and are preaching all kind of weird doctrinal stuff today. And why? They're babies. They haven't grown up. Oh, we hate to think it. They're our favorites. They're the guys we think because they got a lot of money in an airplane. Therefore, man, they must know. They must know something. You got to grow up. And you know, when you grow up, you got to keep acting like a grown up. You don't get to retire from being grown up. There's never retirement from grown up. That never happens. As today is one of the biggest problems. We have so many people retiring, and when they retire, they quit being grown-ups. And they're nothing but a drag on society, and they're dragging it down to hell. Because they become big babies. Take care of me. See, in the church world, we can't do that. So you get this, you know, Kenneth Hagin used to talk about it. He said, he'd always say this. He said, the church has a playpen, and that they're supposed to be for the new one's coming in and getting born again. And he said, but you can't put them in there because it's filled with all the old Christians. And he said, you take one of their bottles from them and they're going to be the first to scream and cry. Woo! Oh, my God. We could really meddle in these scriptures. I tell you. But see, I was always so thankful because of things that I was taught and told by other people that really correct me and showed me my responsibility. But I found out, see, if you don't ever take responsibility, you'll never see blessing from God like other people who take responsibility.
Amen.
You'll never see the blessing. You will never. You will never. People don't read, you take young kids, they won't live as much as peace and joy in life as a person who knows how to take responsibility and walk in life. Because, you know, people's responsibility, they know things come along and they know what you have to do to fix things and they'll go along. See, we always tell the babies, they're the biggest whiners. See, what happened when COVID came along, the church became the biggest whiner. I knew, man, there ain't a bunch of babies out there. All the big boys are the babies. They're all out there crying. The check stopped because he can't come to church. We got to be able to get together because we're so spiritual. People get to cry. Get a little pressure and everybody goes nuts. That's a sign of immaturity. Now see, we gotta face these things. Because we're not going to grow up past them unless we admit.
That's right.
You're never going to grow any further than we admit. You know, it's incredible. We'll go on from here. Let you rest a little bit here. Now he said, speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things. Grow up in some stuff. The other, just let it alone. Grow up in all things in him who is the head, Christ. He says, from whom the whole body, see, he's talking about, we were just reading about this whole body thing, how it works. From the whole body may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. Every joint, that must be a misquote. It's whatever the preachers supply. Couldn't be every joint. The whole body is joined and knit together by what each one supplies.
Amen.
Now, according to the effectual working. Now listen to this. By which every part does it share. Maybe we ought to erase that one. Think? It's probably the translation. I need to get a better translation. That's what it is. Causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. He leaves the idea that people ain't walking in love when they don't do their share. Father. You see, we need to get over in our thoughts about spirituality. What is spirituality? What's spiritual? What's working that's spiritual? We need to really get thinking in these areas. It's been a very difficult thing for in Christianity because we get kind of, see, I watched this start to happen. It was decades ago. It didn't just, that what we're seeing today didn't happen. It happened decades ago. It started. Listen to people. I'm so busy. See, I'm so busy. I can't find time for God. See, going to services. We're just so busy. I remember decades ago they started and said, okay, well, we're so busy, so the first thing we're going to put first, we're going to put the family first. Now, we're not going to put God first. So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to cut church services so we don't have so many church services because we're so busy. So we can spend time because we're busy and we got to spend time with our family. Did they spend time with their family? No. Their kids got involved in 15 different sports and they spent all their time driving around, taking on all the stuff on the 15 sports wasn't enough and you had to do 27 of them. You know, with every sport to come along, you had to be involved in it and driving them here, had all the time to do that. But you know what? When he got in trouble, they would call the minister, get help from God for me. See, I saw this stuff coming. I was involved in minister fellowship and they were, this stuff started coming and I opened my big mouth, you know. I just speaking the truth in love and I just said to them, I said, this thing ain't gonna, and you know, there's just something wrong with that Ed Gibson guy. See, he just don't understand. We got the big crowds so we know better. And today they got the big dead crowds. The big dead crowds. That same church, you turn around and sit about there and do that. What they did was they turned around and they started calling their people giving units. That's what you are. It's about your money. That's what it became. It's about your money. That's what it's really about. You're a giving unit. And folks, we got to understand these things going on. They ain't good. This stuff ain't good. See, you can't, you know, people talk about putting God first. Now, I've heard this taught. You put your family first is putting God first. I'm sorry. No, it's not. Amen. This is my family. That's why we have so much today. Everything's messed up, divorces, and people can't get along and all that stuff. It's caused ungodly Christians. So all this stuff's going on. That's why it happens. I don't know why we don't admit it. I'm not being mean. I'm speaking the truth in love. You got to tell what's right.
Amen. Amen.
This mess goes on because people, God is not first. God ain't first. See, if God's first, it's amazing what you can make work.
Hallelujah.
But He's not. And see, we look at our nation today and say, how do we end up with Biden? The church brought him in. The church bought this stuff in. The church decided we weren't going to be spiritual anymore. We're going to put family. Family's going to be the God. Family's going to be the God. We're going to worship the family. You know, it's just like when I got saved. See, God had more sense than Ed had. I got saved and the Lord spoke to the thing and He told me when I got saved, leave. Now, you know, it's funny because He didn't talk to me about much after I got born again right away about, you know, being spiritual or anything. He said this to me, leave Wanda alone. Don't witness to her and say nothing to her. She don't trust you anyhow. And I had to agree with him. I could understand that. I could see, listen to what God says. Listen to what God says to do. You know, God dealt with her and brought her into the kingdom. There's another one. Nobody comes to the Father, it's the Son, unless the Father draws him. So God had a work to do. See, being led by the Spirit is what makes things work. I found this out. It's what made our family work. It's what our kids grew up in a home where their dad operated in gifts of the Spirit, where Alyssa told Elena, don't lie to dad. Said, God will tell him. Well, where'd they get that idea from? Well, they didn't get it because I was some knucklehead around playing in a position I didn't hold. You can play father, you can play mama. But knowing God's a different thing. When children grow up to know that there's something supernatural operating besides mom and dad, you know, whether they get mad at something or don't get mad, or whether they allow something or don't. When they know that there's something supernatural, see, in our home, they knew there was something supernatural going on there. They know dad was a wild man, but they knew God would show up for him. That's right. Sometimes he wasn't rap tight, but God would show up. And all these guys that are running around playing these nice stuff, telling me, I had a minister pastor tell me, you spend too much time with God. You need to spend more time with your family. He had to worship. His marriage was a mess. Him and his wife were in contrast all the time against each other. They'd fight and carry on. And I said, I'm spending time together. My spending time with Wanda wouldn't have helped her at all, the knucklehead I was. God saw that I needed to change so she could trust me. Just spending time with people ain't going to make good friendships and that stuff, because everybody has people that you have to be around you wish you wouldn't. Ain't that right? So spending time together ain't what makes it work. You survive through the bad relationships because you know God.
Hallelujah.
And you know what to do to keep yourself sane. That'll make a family work. See, there's no fear of God among Christian parents, the kids. Because the parents are too busy trying to be their God. And they know mom and dad, you know, they ain't wrapped too tight. They have no fear. But I tell you what, if they see God in them, it'll make them scared. You go to bed at night and there's a guy. The people living over there in that other bedroom, God talks to them. I'm over here, but he tells them what I'm doing. See, this is what about supernatural.
Amen.
See, I thank God I had somebody that taught me the supernatural. See, I got a hold of the fact that Kenneth Hagin was telling stories, but those stories weren't to be a nice fun thing to hear. They were things you could live in your life.
Hallelujah.
That God would demonstrate through you just in the same manner as he's demonstrated through. He goes on and tells time and time again of the experiences that happened concerning family things and what God revealed to him and showed him and stuff, taking care of stuff. Well, when I listened to those stories, to me it was obvious. Hey, I could have that in my life. People just like the stories today. Just tell me the story. It's just neat to hear. It was for him. He was special. Well, I'm special ed. So it was special for me. Just as another hint on this thing here that we want to look at concerning us as the body and gifts. Familiar scriptures to us, and we'll close with this, is Mark the 16th chapter, when Jesus was departing. Because we want to look around here concerning the gifts again. Because I want you to get across in yourself to this. Now, this is not no drudge. This isn't, God ain't mad at nobody about this. I feel bad for the body of Christ because the Lord was showing me and going over to teach this in this manner, and I haven't done it before in this way, teaching along here. And the Lord was showing me that, you know, to me, sometimes we do this as teachers and ministers. We just think people know things. You know, I learned this over the years. So there's a lot of things I just think obvious. No, there's things that we were taught when we were young Christians, but I realized people come along, they've never been taught. The body of Christ today is an untaught group. Because they're mostly, they identify too much of the Bible teaching just on natural levels, about natural things. They're sort of trying to live off the Jesus came along and he told his little stories, but his stories were to bring across a spiritual truth. And people live off, trying to live off the story. You talk to people about, you know, Jesus comes along and uses the parable of the sower. Sometimes I've heard the dumbest thing ministers have said and taught off of these things that are just a natural out of there. When it down to it, it isn't about, well, you know, a fruitful life, I'm a nice person, I'm really good, and this is all this. Man, I'm going to tell you what, if you don't understand that, you'll have no success in life. And you just, you know, the whole thing is the devil's going to run you over. Many Christians live lives that are completely unfruitful spiritually. Completely unfruitful. It isn't they're bad people you don't want to ever be around or anything like that, but they have no spiritual fruit. There's no manifestation of God in them at all. They don't produce that stuff. They live and die. They're nice people. They've been taught, you know, to be good. They pay their bills and do stuff, and they're nice and they do things. But generally, anything spiritual, they ain't got a clue about. And if anything spiritual happens, they think you're weird. They think you're strange. Now, here's Jesus in verse 15 of chapter 16. Jesus said, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He told me, you guys preach the gospel to everybody. Now, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. Now, what did he say? You disciples go in to the world. You preach the gospel. So see, he sent these, they were known as apostles. He sent them in to the world. You guys go in there, you preach the gospel. And this is what? He who believes the gospel. Then he says this. Now look, verse 17. And these signs will follow the apostles. It follows it. These are signs. These are signs, or we could say these are manifestations of God. That's what they are. That's what this is. Who do they follow? The believer. See, that's everybody. There's not a person. There is not one group that's going to have this stuff, and it only happens for the one group. You know, the guys at the top are they're the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Everybody's supposed to have this stuff. Everybody. This is for everybody in the body. He said, and what? He who believes is baptized will be saved. And so. Well, we're identified, we're saved. And he said, and these signs will follow those who believe, or those ones that got saved. Or just a special group of them. Well, don't say that. He says, in my name, in other words, in my name. These happen in the name of Jesus. They're not happening because of ministry gifts. He said, you do these in my name. Does the name of Jesus belong to you? Well, we're told scripture that Jesus told us himself that if we pray, we're supposed to ask the Father in his name. Well, if it wasn't given to us, you see, that's why the church, the gospels and the word of God is filled with the stuff I'm talking about. It's filled with it. Jesus said, the ones who believe like I do, he said, the works that I do, they shall do also. But I just thought they were, I just thought that was for maybe some guy down here, and you know, he has this big ministry and he does this. This guy, this evangelist over here, I thought that was, no, it's for every believer. Amen. Every believer has a ministry of the supernatural. Every believer. So he goes on and say, these signs will follow them who believe. In my name, you'll call Ed Gibson to cast out devils. That big church that I was talking to you guys about, they did that to me. They called me. They had a demonic problem in a person. And they called me to come to deal with the devil. Now this pastor is a Rhema graduate and everything else. Well, you have a ministry over in that area. You have a ministry over in that area. But I thought, you got this big church and you can't cast a devil out? They didn't know if it was a devil or not. I said, I'll tell you what. I can just tell you this. I said, if there's a demonic problem or something and God has me minister in an area, I'll tell you whether or not there's a devil or not. I said, he'll reveal it to me. See, because people can do things that really seem demonic and you might think it's a devil and it's just their flesh dominating and ruling. That's right. There's some people don't need the devil cast out. They need cast out. It's just them and their flesh. But he said, you can cast out devils. See, you need this. You wouldn't know that. How would you know in your own life if it's a devil doing something or don't? See, I find people don't. I realize sometimes people, I've had to deal with people already in that stuff where they had sickness and disease and it wasn't a physical ailment. It was causing a physical thing in their body, but it was a demonic problem. Until you deal with that demon, that thing ain't going away. You can go to see as many doctors as you want and do whatever you want. And it ain't ever going to change. You can say, I believe I'm healed. I believe I'm healed. You don't deal with that devil. We can't, if healing just took care of casting out devils, why would we ever cast out devils? What would be the point of that? You see, so these manifestations are needed in the body. See, to make the whole body work, it can't work without it. See, you don't know. There could be many reasons why problems exist and go on. That's why we need the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge. We need discerning of spirits. We need, you know, it isn't discerning of devils, and it's not discernment. People say, I have discernment. Usually what they're telling you is, I'm a busybody and I talk to about people a lot. So. I have discernment what's wrong with everybody else but me. You know, there's no gift of discernment. I mean, I have that gift of discernment. The Bible doesn't tell us there's a gift of discernment. See, we need to know if you need wisdom, ask wisdom from God. God can give you wisdom on things. And if you have any discernment in life, you gain it. But there's things, see, if person just had, they were just smart and understood things, they wouldn't need these gifts. We desperately need these gifts. There's no way for the church to go on without them. You know, just baptized in the Holy Ghost and praying in other tongues. The Lord spoke to me about this years ago. He said to me, concerning dealing with the last days, he said the Spirit-filled people, the people who talk in tongues, he said they're the only group that are going to be able to pray some of these things in these end days. Because he said they can pray in tongues. He said you can't touch into some of these things with your natural mind. He said if the Spirit-filled church don't take its place, there's a lot not going to change. See, most people think praying in tongues is just about them. There's a lot of praying in tongues is about changing things in the realm of the Spirit. Amen. We need to understand that need. Excuse me. Many times, over times of praying in tongues, I've got revelation about things and what was going on, what was happening. See, gifts begin to operate. Revelation comes to you about things that you would not normally know. Just in these gifts. There's loads of time. Now, sometimes, and I prayed over in tongues. I've done this already, prayed in tongues, and all of a sudden the spirit of prophecy comes on me, and I start praying under the spirit of prophecy. I start speaking. It isn't coming out of my mind to thinking about praying about things. Sometimes I can almost get startled about things I pray. I think, my God. Because stuff will come up out of me. Sometimes I've had already in that stuff quoting scriptures I didn't even know I knew. I had to go check later to find out if that was it. But things will come up out of your spirit. See, over the years, I've read through the scriptures, and a lot of stuff that you read over time doesn't dawn on my mind, but my spirit heard it. Mm-hmm. See, if you're only living out of your mind, that's why you're out of your mind. That's what your problem is. Do you know that's why a lot of people get older? That's what happens to them. They're just living in the flesh and living out of their minds all the time. They leave their, they leave anything of spirituality. They say, I can't remember stuff. My spirit remembers everything. Amen. My spirit's renewed day by day. And if I'll get in contact with the inside, I'll know. See, that's why today we have so many, all this stuff of, you get old, you get dumb. Yeah? It's because people lost their spirituality. They're not spiritual. And now they even get dumb young. They don't wait to get old no more. Say, if we're going to do it, we're going to do it right away. I'll get started early so I get good at it. Hallelujah. But see, we have these demonstrations, manifestations. They will speak with new tongues. See, speaking in tongues, that's part. See, speaking in tongues, Jesus said that's what happened. Every believer will speak in tongues. And what do we have today in the church world? The majority of the church world believes it's of the devil. Can you imagine? Jesus Christ himself said, under my name you can do it. And they say today, that's the devil. We wonder why God don't move when the church is against him. Well, that's gone away. That's done away with. Well, then believing's done gone away with. That was in here too. See, we have the pick and choose Christianity today. You know, we got to admit, you know, spirit-filled people are going to have to admit we've been wrong. We're going to have to admit it. We want the world to change and say, but we don't want to. I found a good help for me to change first. When I found out I need to change, then I need to change. Telling somebody else doing it ain't going to do no good.
Amen.
They'll take up serpents and if they drink any deadly thing, it'll not harm them. It will by, when nobody's harmed them, they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. You see, this is the body of Christ. This is believers. Believers operate over in supernatural areas. That's the believer. Get that in your mind. That's where I'm supposed to be. That's, in other words, God wants me there. I'm not trying to force into this area. I'm not trying to get to this. This is babyhood Christianity. Jesus, the church just got started and Jesus told the guys this. See, Jesus, even when he was in the earth, he sent the 12 out to go minister and told them to do things, but he sent the 70 out. They weren't the apostles. And he sent them out. He said, you guys go out there, heal the sick, raise the dead. My God, heal the sick, raise the dead. We don't do that anymore. No, today it's give them hamburgers and hot dogs and do this kind of thing and give them clothing and do all that kind of stuff. Do all this stuff. Give them all this stuff. Do this. Yeah. Go out there and do that. And it's going to change the world. Yeah, it started a great welfare system. Nobody wants to work. Why? Because the church, I have literally had people call us and they told me that because we were a church, we had to help them and give them food. We had to help them do, tell me that stuff. We've let the world dictate the church. The world doesn't dictate to me whether I walk with God. They wouldn't know. This being here, well, you know, people out here, the reason they don't go to church is this. They don't go to church because the devil's their dad, and they have been listening to the devil and the people in the church who tried to take care of them without ever giving them anything spiritual, and it's all messed up and ain't got nothing to do with spirituality.
Amen. Preach.
The world wouldn't know. What would the world know what godliness is? If they know what it is, they're going to be held accountable for it. And if they know what godliness is, they'd know this. They're on the way to hell. Oh yeah. So you have a lot of flaky stuff going around. Called Christianity, called this, that. We're turning around letting the world dictate us what godliness is. And the church don't even know what it is. They don't know what it is to follow God. They don't know nothing about supernatural and its operation. It's supposed to work. See, we need it.
Amen.
We need it in our lives. Amen. See, I didn't learn the gifts of the Spirit inside a church. I never learned their operation. I learned the operation of gifts of the Spirit, first of all, in my bedroom praying. And God would start manifesting things. I'd pray God, and I would ask God questions about things, and things would manifest. I learned about it at home. And I found out this because you go to churches, and a lot of churches don't want it, even Spirit-filled churches. I've been to Spirit-filled churches and nobody's allowed to operate any gifts of the Spirit to church and only come through the pastor. The pastor wouldn't even allow them to go through. His associate pastors weren't even allowed to operate gifts of the Spirit. And they're the ones teaching, trying to reach the world, and we're trying to, with what? See, what they do is they center focus an individual on this. This is God here. God can only move through me. You know what people are afraid of? People are afraid that if somebody operates in a gift, they might miss it and do something dumb. Well, I guarantee you they will. The guy's dumb up front being scared in the first place. He's the dumbest guy in the crowd. He's the most stupid man of the bunch that he's scared that something's going to happen. You know, people are going to make mistakes. As nobody's perfect on the deal. Nobody. Sometimes we miss it. If we don't do things because we miss it, we'll never do anything.
Amen.
See, we have a psychological problem in the church world because people are afraid they're going to look bad in front of somebody. They're so afraid they're going to do something wrong. They're so afraid of that. See, I know when I started out in ministry, I had to get over that. You have to get over the thing is, what if they don't like this sermon God gave me? See, I got to get over that. So you got to get over the things about with people. You know, we ain't trying to be mean to people or anything like that, but we got to lose this thing that we're afraid we're going to miss it. What if God does something and, you know, we miss it? I'm amazed. What amazed me was how many times I hit it when I started off yielding to things. That's what amazed me. I just think, dear Lord, you know, 9 out of 10 is pretty good. I mean, now most people will focus on the one miss. That's what they do. The people who always like to be liked in front of anybody, they can do something 100 times good and 1 time miss it, and they'll quit doing it because somebody said something. Somebody didn't like what was said. This person said this. This person. See, over the years, I've had people come to me after church. I don't think you should have taught that way. I've had people tell me. I shake their hand. Well, you'll teach it next Sunday, won't you? Oh, it's funny. It's funny. They never want to do that. Excuse me, I'm just a church critic. That's my job. See, I wouldn't have done it that way. So that's why God didn't put you up here. I had the hardest time about being a pastor. I had the hardest time with it. You know, as I went through, how much disobedience I went through and wouldn't move because God wanted me to because I could not see him. I said, Lord, I'm not this sweet little pet the sheep guy. It's not who, you know, and I knew I wasn't gifted in that way. I wasn't operating out that way, this cute little thing. But I understand why. Because I'm going to tell you what. Today it's hard standing. And we got all these guys petting sheep. And it's going down the tubes. They're petting them to their own demise. They don't get to grow up. They're following every wind of doctrine. And the next thing you know, it's the pastor preaching it. God quits bringing revelation. When it stopped preach, it'll stop coming. And then people get under the influence of other spirits. Next thing you know, they're over-teaching. Whatever's popular today. I like it. You know, we actually have to have a license to use our overhead, to put music words overhead. You got to have a license to do that because you can't just print or put people's stuff out without, use it without their permission. So we have CCLI who does it. But CCLI, you know, we got the thing from them to do it. But there, you know, they go Christian, but They always put this. I get this things emails from them, the top 10 worship songs of the month. It's like, is this American Bandstand? You know, this is on here. I like this one because it's good beat to dance to, and I like this one because it's like these are they put the top 10. You know, this is the way. This is the way it's going, and churches are following after this stuff. That's what they look to. Oh, this is what most of the churches are doing. Let's get over here and do that. Let's get the top 10. It cracks me up. When I first saw the thing and he put this thing out the top 10, and I thought, my God, this American Bandstand is back. Dear Lord, we got it again. And we'll just interview people and tell them what they think of the next song we put out. Hey, how do you thought about that? I'll give it a 4. I didn't like that one too much. It couldn't be, you know. I couldn't wiggle right to it, and I just, you know. You know, what are we doing? You know, it's like out here, it's like, we're doing this stuff, and these people are following. And then they're asking, you know, they have all these people that they're supposed to come and teach you how to worship God. They're going to teach you. Well, I'm going to teach you how to this and how you got to worship God and what you got to do. And folks, I have been through this stuff and watched it. A church that I was involved with, and they had a ministerial group. They had this guy, they called him a prophet. And you know what he was? He was a psychologist. That's what he did. He was a teacher at Millersville in psychology. And he would talk in psychology all the time. It was psycho. And they say spiritual. He was a prophet. And I say, God, if he's prophet, I'm Jesus. You know, it's like this guy. And he's teaching us how to worship. to use hand signals in our worship. And then he's going to teach us this. If you're standing there and you have your hands crossed, this means that you're not listening. And he had all this psychological stuff. So some of you, everybody goes... And then when you worship and you use your hands like this or like that, this is for meaning this and this is... He's up there. And these people, the head of the people of the church, they're letting this stuff go on. I'm thinking, this is demonic stupidity gone to seed. See, that's, worship doesn't have to do nothing to that stuff. Number one, first of all, if your heart ain't in it, just forget the rest of it. You see, we have not... See, God wants to bring people back to their heart. This is what I'm teaching about here. It's coming back to the inner man. It's what's going on the inside. The gifts come out of the inside. They aren't out of your mind. They're not. It's not natural stuff. It's things in your spirit where the Holy Spirit lives. You can be as successful as anybody else. It isn't for one person becoming spiritual. There are loads of Christians that are so much sitting in churches that are so much more spiritual than their pastors. People come to me from a church, and well, and anyhow, I had done ministry in that church, but they came to the church, and they came because the church is just huge, big church, getting just really carnal, and came. I mean, they were literally in tears. They said, "We want to go back to the days when we used to have move of God in our church." He said, "We don't have it anymore. We've got a show." And they turned around and left the church, and the pastor had nerve to come to me and tell me complaining about those people leaving his church. And I thought, I was going to just tell him good. And I thought, no, my attitude's wrong about this. I just want to tell him what a knucklehead he is. And I thought, you know, thank God they had enough spiritual sense to leave him. I'm going to tell you, I know this for a fact. The Lord told me he took those people out of there because they were listening to him. The crowd that stayed wasn't.
Amen.
See, people, we're out here today. It's very hard. People don't want to move with God. They want to get in and get out. They want to just, you know, let's go. Give me an exciting time, you know, for a few minutes and that stuff, and I got to go. You know, we have to get on to something else. And we need to know that this is a terrible condition that we're in. You know, those who wait on the Lord renew their strength. The waiting stuff we don't know a thing about. The only thing we know is our weight pushing down on a chair where we're sitting, and so I need to get out of here. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. You see, here we know about you having to go after things. But you're living in a world that's not like that. You're living among people that are not like that. God is in you. You're supernatural people. Glory to God. Father, I just want to thank you. I thank you for supernatural people. I thank you people that got wonderful gifts of God. Hallelujah. Not by the wisdom of men, but Lord God, your supernatural gifts to the Holy Spirit manifesting through them. Lord God, that you're showing yourself strong through them. Hallelujah. And we just thank you today. Father God, you're working for us. You're not against us. Hallelujah. So we thank you today, Lord God. We just set ourselves to yield our spirit to the Holy Spirit in us. Hallelujah. And Holy Spirit, it is our desire that you are able to manifest those gifts as you will through us. Hallelujah. So our purpose is for this, that Jesus Christ might be magnified and glorified. So Jesus is lifted up. Lord God, our desire is that men come to Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Lord, there is salvation on no other name. It's the only one that can save. And Lord God, I pray for every believer, Lord God, to bring Jesus back to the forefront again. That Jesus, hallelujah, becomes the most important, hallelujah. And I want to thank you, Lord. Lord, we don't have to worry about blessing and chase after blessing. Lord God, you're the one who chased after men and blessed them.
Hallelujah.
And I want to thank you that you've blessed us, hallelujah. The Lord God, with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, we've been blessed with them. So we just want to say thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Father, I'm sure there's just so many wonderful things that you want to do through the church of Jesus Christ and manifest through us. Hallelujah. Lord God, that we will even marvel at your goodness and your grace delivered to people in the name of Jesus Christ. And we thank you for it all in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Father, reaching out through ministries. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, I'm just going to yield to something here. Ebreste ge ya mamaroke tafranda vesconina gasheto che la brita fedele le atea sisa roneno coshish calayato e fronda barakiana non ene kika con la brata asa la labarasia lo rageshi le ombratefra ne calaya shelekia shishelia tu. Yes, for I have seen you and I have seen your place of walk and I have called to you and that is my great desire that you come forth. My desire that you come forth because I have much to reveal to you. I have much to show you. There's many things that have been hidden, many things that have not been known. But in these days and times, because it's close to my return, I desire to reveal things and show things that men have not known or seen. And I will do. And why not you, says the Lord? Why not that I would reveal that to you and to show you? Why not that I would come? Because I have not hidden these things for someone else, but I've hidden them for my people. I have set it forth in this hour, and I'm calling you forth. I'm calling you forth into a place that you have not walked before and you have not known. There's a place of glory, and I've opened that door. That door is not held shut, but for many, for a long time, it seemed none have entered. But I'm speaking out and calling out today, come and enter through. Come and enter in. Come and enter into the place of the supernatural, and I will take you places, said the Lord, that your eyes will marvel, your ears will tingle, and you will want marvel to understand and know, and the Spirit will show you and reveal to you, but not just show you things, but use you for things. Hallelujah. That you thought, oh my, would God really use me for that? And the Lord says, yes. Yes, I will, for I have predetermined, says the Lord, at my will and at my purpose to do so. So it shall be, says the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah.